Good afternoon, everybody, for coming. Not that I oftentimes get nervous about what to say on the Friday Shmooze, but Vayigash, I'm usually more relaxed because a few years ago I found an unbelievable vort that is so powerful. And I always know that if I don't find something new, I'd love to say this vort that I've said in the past because it's so important and so significant. And of course, I can always rely on that, and I plan on doing that, but actually I found, and the idea would be to be able to find something new that fits in and ties in with this idea. So it's based on Rav Shalom Shrodron. Now, everybody knows, I know Rabbi Reichman said, I'm sure you're going to hear this shot in this medrash many, many times over the week, and about the power of this medrash, but Rav Shalom Shrodron points out something unbelievable about the medrash, and that is, Ani Yosef ha'orav yichai, right? Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, and they're in shock, etc. And what happens in the Medrash? Abba Kohen Bardala makes a comment. He says, Oylonim yohadin, oylonim miyomotel chacha. Woe is to us on the day of judgment, woe is to us on the day of rebuke. Now, again, this is the Beis Halevi that basically says that the brothers were caught. Why were they caught? Because they said that What did they tie to Yosef? Yosef, you know, we can't leave Binyamin here. Our father's going to die from losing his child. And he says to them, yeah, really? You're so concerned about the welfare of your father? And therefore you want to take Binyamin back? What happened with me? What happened with Yosef? How come you're willing to throw me in the boar to sell me? Were you not concerned about the welfare of your father then? So they were sort of caught red-handed. And it's like, you know, like one up. You're telling us one taina that you couldn't what? You can't let Binyamin go because it's going to cause your father suffering. How come you weren't concerned about that in the past? So the Beis Halevi explains that when we go up to Shemayim, we're going to say that during our lives, we had many excuses. We had no time to learn. We had no money to give to tzedakah. And then Hashem is going to say, what do you mean? You had time for this. You had money for that. So that's one way of understanding Yom HaTochacha. That Ani Yosef, all your tainas about your father's welfare, Don't stack up and don't follow through because it doesn't follow through with everything you've done in your life. And then we had Roy Reichman point out from Chaim Shulevitz the idea that the tochacha, the rebuke is, whoa, you were mistaken. I'm Yosef. The dreams came true. You thought you're going to do all the different things that they're going to prevent the dreams from happening. But everything you did, you couldn't get around it. You're trying to prevent the dreams from happening, but you were mistaken. You actually brought the dreams to fruition. And that's the idea of Olam Yom HaDin, Olam Yom HaTochacha, and there are many ways to understand that. But Rav Shalom Shrodron says something unbelievable. And he says the following. He says that imagine you're reading the story of the Chumash, or you're living through the story of the Chumash. And you see Yosef reveal himself to the brothers after all these years. Boom! What a saga, what a plot, what a scene. And what do you do afterwards? You go home and you have chillin', you go home and you eat your breakfast, you go home and you eat your lunch. You don't get affected by such a story. The godless of Chazal, the greatness of Chazal is they see an episode, they see a story, and they take a lesson from there. That's the godless of Chazal. And actually, Shlomo Shrodron points out, I've read this piece before, I don't remember this point. He said, how many times do we read Shnai Mikra, we read Rashi, and okay, we have Pshat, and we close this Chumash, and we finish, that's great. But you open up the Medrash is reading the same psukim. Obviously, they have Ruach HaKodesh and etc. And they have Kabbalah and Torah Shabbat Peh, whatever. But the point is, they look at the same storyline, the same Torah that we look, but they delve so much deeper into it. And he actually quotes the Medrash by Bilam. Bilam's donkey talks to him. Whoa, wow. Bilam's like, so okay, cool, that's wild stuff. So what does the Medrash say? The Medrash tells us that you see that if Bilam, the wisest of all Goyim, was rebuked by a donkey, we're going to also be rebuked, obviously, by certainly greater beings than a donkey. I mean, there's a lesson to be learned. And what an unbelievable point, that in life, you can go through life, you can read through Gemaras, you can read through Chumashim, and you can say, oh, it's very nice, interesting, but unless you live it, unless you feel you're in it, it's not going to affect you. And Rav Shalom Shrodron brings down two mashalim, two stories. He said he used to travel often to raise money in America for different organizations. And he was one time, he was on a boat coming back from America. And as they were getting close to the shore in Eretz Yisrael, he saw a young boy pacing back and forth, like all nervous. And when they got close to the shore, all of a sudden, you heard the boy scream, Ima, Ima! And you heard some woman by the port scream, Moshe, Moshe! And they had this epic reunion after who knows how many years since the Holocaust, etc., etc. And Rosh Hashanah Shadron says, you know what? Anybody who watched this, after the next day or two, they would forget about it. But if you're living, if you're Moshe and you're the mother, that reunion, after so many years, will always be so alive inside of you. If you live it, it has so much more of an impact on your life. And he says, that's what Chazal is showing us. Abba Kohen Bardola sold this amazing story. Yosef revealing himself to the brothers. He didn't say, oh, wow, that's cool. Okay, and go home. No, he said, what can I learn from here? I can learn, wow, when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, that's like what it's going to be after 120, when we stand before Hashem and He judges us for our actions, for our life. He takes that story, a wild story, and he applies it to his life. Then Rosh Hashanah says an unbelievable thing, another story about himself. That brings out this point as well. He says when he was in America, that's just so you know, as an aside, if you know all the Maggid books or Pesach Kron, how did the book start? How did he become a Maggid, basically? Because his family hosted Rav Shalom Shradron, the great Maggid of Yerushalayim, when he came to America. And Mistama, I have a feeling that this is the story is about like his family, I think. Although maybe yes, maybe no. He says that he was staying by a certain family in New York. And the family is going out that day, sounds like, nearby to the Javits Center, the car show. Now, okay, you know, people actually went to the car show with my family a number of years ago, after Pesach, I think, right? Chol Hamoed Pesach, just as an activity. And basically, so the family asked Rosh Hashanah Shadron, why don't you come with us, you know, to the car show today? He said, no, it's okay, I don't need to come to the car show. Not only that, come back and tell me what you saw. And I'll show you a deeper understanding of what you saw. Not only do I not have to go, but when you relate to me what you saw, I'll be able to glean a very deep point. So they went, and they came back, and they said there were thousands of people there, hundreds of cars, and people were looking around, walking around. I said, yeah, okay, anything striking? They said, yeah, there was a group of people that stayed around one car from morning till night, and people said that they were there for many, many, many days. And I found it interesting. So, said Rosh Hashanah Shadron, you know what I see from there? You know what I learn from there? Those people, they have their car of their own. They're working on their own car, but they know that their car is currently inferior to the car that's, you know, part of the show. And they're sitting there and they're figuring out, where does this screw go there? Where does that screw go? And, you know, how big is the engine? Where does it fit? Where does it go? They're studying the car. Why? Because they want to improve their own car. He said, that's pshat in the chazal, that's pshat in life. People who are in tune to growth and to work on themselves, go through the life and trying to figure out, glean from this episode and that episode, how do I improve myself? So Rosh Hashanah showed them that it was an interesting thing. Wow, interesting. A random group of guys are spending the whole day next to a car. What does it have to do with me? How does that affect my life? What can I glean and what can I learn from that? Says Rosh Hashanah, that's the whole idea in life. That's the whole idea of living life. If you're living life to improve yourself, so when you see something, when you see, there's always something you can gain from it to improve your own life, to try to enhance your own life. And the way I used to title the Shmooze was, why do rabbis always have stories? The pshat is, stories happen to everybody. But when you see a story, if you don't live, you're not in it, if you're not applying it to your own life, you're not living it, so maybe it's just a random story and has no meaning. The pshat is when you go through life thinking, how can I grow? What can I learn from this encounter? What can I learn from this story? So then then you're living it. And that's what Rosh Hashanah Shadron is saying based on Chazal. Abba Kohen Bardola was reading through the story of Yosef and his brothers. And he said, what can I learn? How can this enhance my life? How can this awaken and inspire me to do something greater? And it's a tremendous, tremendous life lesson. So, that being said, so I used to, I think when I prepared this vort a few years ago, I was on the way to Yeshiva and I was listening to the following story that I think could bring out this point. The story goes as follows, and you may have heard this from me before, but it brings out this point. There's a story about a guy who came to Night Kolo, and the Rosh Kolo is somebody who's in the Kolo, or the big Rav staying in the Kolo, was of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And this guy came over to Shlomo Zalman Orbach one night, and he said, I have a halachic shaila. My halachic shaila is, I'm not sure if I benched. Now, anybody who knows anything knows that Sufik, that Brichas HaMazon is the Araisa. Safek d'oraisa l'chumra. If you're not sure if you benched, you have to bench again. And if Shomel Zalman Orbach paskind, you don't have to bench. And the people in the Kol were aghast. How could it be if Shomel Zalman Orbach would tell somebody who has a safek if he benched or not, that he doesn't have to bench? Safek d'oraisa l'chumra. How could it be? So he went to Shomel Zalman Orbach at the end of the night and they said, how can you paskind like this? Safek d'oraisa l'chumra. Orbach said the following. He said, you have to know this person. I know this person. And I know that if he ate, he certainly did not get up from his seat without making a bracha, without benching, without making a bracha achrona. Okay? And number two, if he benched, there's no way he'd forget. So these are my facts. I know if he benched, he benches with so much kavanah, there's no way he forgot. And if he ate, there's no way he got up from his seat without benching. The only possibility to resolve the question is he's not sure if he ate. That's his only suffix. And sure enough, they went to his house, they asked his wife, where's the food? And sure enough, the food wasn't touched. So everybody's like, wow. Zalman Orbach is like a prophet. Chacham Adif Minavi, a wise person is greater than a prophet. How in the world did Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach know that this person must not have eaten? How did he know that? So you can learn, you can hear that story and say, wow, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach is Mamash like a Navi. That's one way of looking at the story. But a deeper, living through the story is like, holy cow. Wow. There's a human being that doesn't get up from his seat without making a bracha korona. He doesn't just go around and say, oh, bench later or whatever. There's a human being, there's a Jew that benches with so much kavana, there's no way in the world that he could have forgotten if he made a bracha or not. We certainly, most of us, and myself, probably cannot say that about ourselves, that we say, make brachos achronos or even bracha rishonos. Obviously, that's not so posh that it's a deraisa, a suffix, but let's leave that for now. But the point is that you can imagine somebody has so much kavana when he makes a bracha achrona when he benches that there's no way in the world he'd ever have a suffix if he benched or not. So there's two ways of understanding, looking at that story. You can say, wow, what a story. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. You can say, no, what can I learn from this? How can I use this to grow on a personal level? So now, that's what I would say in the past. But what can I say new? When you think about what we experience, what Klal Yisrael experience, well, the truth is, you have to also imagine that, you know, the beginning of the week was very, very difficult for Klal Yisrael, right? We were shaken to the core. We hope that Yehosef ben Perel should have a refuah shleima, so shall Klal Yisrael. But can you imagine, I mean, the first, I didn't hear about it until Sunday night, one of the alumni who lives in Muncie says, I don't believe it. It was mamash down the block from me. And not only that, I spent Shabbos afternoon in a shul with, of course, no security. And who knows when this person decided to attack? Unfathomable in America? Who? But again, and then apparently, from what I heard, the rav from that shul the next day, he was involved in the Sefer Torah. Klal Yisrael bounces back. We bounce back. These are all, you know, essentially wake up calls. But we can't go through life without internalizing the messages that were being thrown, somebody was telling me that they said, "Oh, you know, 100,000 Jews in one place. Shouldn't we be concerned? Listen, we have the Rabbanu Shalom, and also in the winter time, January 1st." So I heard a great from Rabbi Eitan Feinerschlitter. He said, "Well, if they go, you know, bare chested in Lambo, covered football, you don't think we can go, you know, on January 1st in New York, you know, covered Atara? Of course we should. That's the mysterious nefesh. It's covered Atara. You can have Kavod HaTorah in the summertime, but can you imagine the Kavod HaTorah? Jews sitting in freezing cold in the middle of January in New York for Kavod HaTorah, what a beautiful thing, what a beautiful sight to see. And then we experienced that Tzimah Shas, the Yisrael Kushlovsky, Shlita, an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, a great holy Jew, getting so excited about being Mitzayim Talmud Bavli, unbelievable. So we can say, wow, the Jewish people are great, 100,000 people together, and we heard great singing, Mazel Tov, and unbelievable, but we should do something about it. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should do Daf Yomi, but we have to take these feelings of inspiration and do something with it. And just a few suggestions. Actually, I do have a suggestion. Now, some people, okay, we'll do Daf Yomi. But again, Daf Yomi is not for everybody. I got an email from another organization. It sounds beautiful. It's an Amud Yomi, right? Because Daf is a lot. Amud Yomi, and not only that, nobody's going to present an idea like Amud Yomi. And it says there are going to be monthly tests, etc. So these are all beautiful things. And many of the speeches, Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz touched upon the point that a person has to have a breadth of knowledge in Torah Shebal Peh, right? And perhaps people should start learning Mishnayos Yomi, 2 Mishnayos a day, something to be able to expose himself to all the different flavors of Shas. Of course, when you're in Yeshiva, you're focusing on Gittin, or whatever Masechta you're learning, there's no question about it, that should be the focus. But on the other hand, you should be able to expose yourself to other flavors. I want to present another idea. Now, people will say, you know what, Daf Yomi is not for me, Peseder, Amud Yomi is not for me, Mishnayos Yomi, I think, should be for everybody, I think. But how about this one? How about this? Oh, I'm learning Gittin now. Peseder, So I would suggest you have as oris to learn b'hasmada and do something every day. So make sure you learn a blot of gittin every day. Ideally, maybe it should be a new blot of gittin. Maybe you can go ahead. But even if not, at least one blot of gittin of chazara. You don't want to learn daf yomi, brachas, shabbos, erevin, etc. But at least say to yourself, I'm a kabbal myself. I'm going to learn a blot of gemara a day. I don't want to confuse myself. I don't want to get involved in another mesefta beseder. So I'm always going to chazar at least one blot. I'm always going to learn one blot. Why shouldn't you become a master in the blot in the mesefta that you're learning? But something to go to see the simchas. You have young and old, and everybody's getting involved in Limud HaTorah. We know, we saw Rabbi Rechman spoke about it. Limud HaTorah is the eighth chaim here. It's the lifeline for this world, the lifeline for the next world. This is something that we can all. I'm sure everybody has had it in service. The simcha. Actually, I was sitting next to an older gentleman. I felt quite bad for him. And also, for me personally, it was a beautiful thing. My father-in-law was we'd call him a regular guy from the five towns. He just finished his second cycle of Shas. 30 years ago, before I have to give credit to certainly first of all. Many years ago from Rabbi Shapiro, and certainly Art School. Without Art School, none of this would have happened. I mean, there was a tribute, I didn't see it yet, from Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz Zatzal, who was one of the founders of Art School. This was his dream in like the 80s. His dream in the 80s was to translate the Gemara. A dream. People thought he was nuts. People didn't think it was going to work. And look, one man's idea of translating the Gemara into an easier English than when I was a kid. When I had to study for a test, we had to use like the Sansino. I don't know if you've ever seen a Sansino Gemara. It's like the old English, an old English translation of like Chumash's heart. Just imagine an old English translation of a Gemara. It's extremely, extremely difficult. But they opened the door for thousands upon thousands of Jews that were able to learn it. But that was a beautiful simcha for me to see. And my father-in-law said, of course, he's from America. It would be nice to be with 100,000 people. But he was so happy to be with his children and his grandchildren in Eretz Yisrael celebrating the Simchat Torah. Getting back to the guy next to me, I felt bad. He was there by himself, an older man. I don't know how old, but he was older. And he happened to be next to me, and I had kids. And the kids on his right, kids on the left. And the kids are making noise, and every 5 seconds when they made a peep, he's like, I waited 7 years for this. Stop talking already. Now, I didn't want to put him in a place to say, listen, I understand. But on the other hand, here's my father-in-law who wanted to show his grandkids, what he accomplished. So I didn't want to make him feel bad. So I didn't say anything. The truth is, when the dancing started, I took his hand and he was all happy. But he's not wrong. Look at what did he do? Again, he was in the wrong section. He should have been in the section with other people his age that were not making noise. I understand that. But Lemaiso, this person, he worked hard day in, day out, 7 years, every single day for at least an hour working on the daf. What a beautiful, beautiful accomplishment. And something that we should all relate to. It doesn't necessarily need to be the daf. But when you go through life and you go through something like this, and you should watch the videos from MetLife. You should see Kovod HaTorah. And you will have a chance to take that inspiration and do something with it. Like Abba Kohen Bartolo, he didn't say, wow, so cool. Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. That's so wild. No, he learned from it. Like everything in life. And just a quick word on this week's parasha, just to add. And it's from the Mayim Beis Shem of Shimon Schwab. He says that all of a sudden Yehuda starts getting intense and he starts approaching Yosef and saying, Yosef, what's going on over here? You're taking Binyamin to jail? Now, Yehuda a few psukim ago said, kill the guy who you found the goblet, and everybody else will be an Eved. And now Yosef says to him, no, all I want is Binyamin. Yehuda should have been happy. Yehuda should have been happy that that Binyamin is the only one being enslaved. So what's Pshat? He's getting all intense. Listen to what he quotes his Rebbe. Shemizeh Rom Godel Inyan Kabbalas HaAchrayas. Why did Yehuda get all upset now? Because Yehuda realized, I took upon myself responsibility to return Binyamin to my father Yaakov. And when I have Achrayas, when I have a responsibility, and I took upon myself my responsibility, I will be successful. Listen to this. Shaydesh Niske Yehuda Shekibalav Achrayas Lahaft Binyam Lavu Ka'amur. He Abdukha Orev Sanar. I am the co-signer. I'm the one who's obligated to bring him back. Nischadesh Bilvavu Oimet Ruach Bekoychus Chadoshim Shalohayu Bami Kodam. When you realize who did they find the Gavia by? Binyamin, I have a responsibility. I took upon myself a responsibility to return Binyamin. All of a sudden, boom, he had this increased vigor to start off with Yosef and to save Binyamin. Until that point, they didn't know who was going to be enslaved. They didn't know who took the Gevirah. V'oz pasach k'neged Yosef v'dvar ha'koshin. V'dun mino, we see from here, Rishav quotes his Rebbe, Rav Bloch. He says like this, V'dun mino, nini kabos ol mitzvahs. When a person takes upon himself the yoke of doing a mitzvah, he takes upon himself responsibility. I'm going to learn two Mishnahs a day. I'm going to learn a daf of Gemara a day. I'm going to do something better. You're going to have newfound strength that you didn't have prior. That's the pshat. Why all of a sudden did Yehuda have this increased vigor? Because he realized, oh, Binyamin is the one who stole the Gevirah. He's the one in jail. Achrayus, boom. I'm gonna kick it into a full gear. Why? Because I took upon myself the responsibility to bring him back. The same thing by us. When you go through life and you say, you know what, you hear a lot of inspiring things. But what happens? We don't necessarily do anything about it. But we see from here, you have to maybe cobble something. You have to take upon yourself responsibility to do something. And as you see from Schwab, from a Bloch, from Yehuda, when you take upon yourself responsibility, you have newfound strength, and you have siyata d'shmaya. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to accomplish all the kabbalas, all the things we take upon ourselves. Be'ez Hashem, if we do that, and we shtag individually, and we shtag as a nation, we'll see the Gula Hashem. Have a great Shabbos. Amen.